ago. Third John 2, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. Okay, you know, most of you know 3 John 2, but we'll look at, I probably need you to turn to Luke 5 for sure. Okay, I'm going to tell you funny first. Is that all right? Okay. His request approved, the Fox News photographer quickly used a cell phone to call the local airport to charter a flight. He was told a twin-engine plane would be waiting for him at the airport. Arriving at the airfield, he spotted a plane warming up outside a hangar. He jumped in with his bag, slammed the door shut, and shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot taxied out, swung the plane into the wind, and took off. Once in the air, the photographer instructed the pilot, "Fly over the valley and make low passes so I can take pictures of the fires on the hillsides." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm a photographer for Fox Cable News," he responded, "and I need to get some up-close shots." The pilot was strangely silent for a moment. Finally, he stammered, "So what you're telling me is you're not my flight instructor?" So you want to think before you leave. Amen. Okay, tonight, as I've talked about, is about healing. And again, we just look, the Lord has healing for us in lots of different ways. That's what my book is about, Your Healing Door. In fact, I think we may have some copies of it out here. But it's just, the Lord's not limited about how he heals. And so if we'll listen to, if we'll pray and listen, he'll show you the method to receive. But tonight I want to just talk to you about a message that's on my heart. The way I call it is healing in shoe leather. Okay, in other words, how to walk it out. Too many times we mystify healing. Okay, and healing's, you know, it's like, you know, it's mystical to a lot of people. I mean, how can I make sure that I receive healing, or how come this person received and this one didn't, and so on and so forth. And so I want to talk to you about how to simple keys. If I just had this time with you, and it's all I could, all I could tell you about healing, in just a few minutes, this is what I would tell you. Not only for how you can receive healing, but how you can minister it to others. Okay, these are things you've got to know. If you don't know these things, you can miss it, and healing can stay mystical. If you'll get this, it's not mystical anymore. It's healing in shoe leather. In other words, anybody can receive it. Anybody can walk it out. Okay, and so that's what I want to share with you. And then, you know, we've already prayed for everyone, but when we finish the message, we're just going to all come down, and Tom's going to lead us in a couple of songs, and we're just going to worship for a little bit and just kind of soak in the presence of God and let what he's already done manifest, and let what I teach become revelation to you, okay? So that's what we're going to do. So the first thing, I'm just going to tell you three things. It's not like when I'm telling you this, I'm not saying that's all there is you need to know, that there's not any more revelation, but I'm telling you, if you only had a short amount of time with someone, this is what I would tell them. Okay, so number one, healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. Keep that up there if you would, guys. Say this with me. Healing is the will of God. Let's just read it together. Say it together. Healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. One more time. Healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. Now, if you don't believe that, you cannot have faith. It's not possible for you to have faith for healing. And what happens is we allow someone else's experience or your experience to trump the Word of God. Well, but my Aunt Susie, I know she was believing for healing and she didn't receive. Or, you know, my Uncle Joe, or, you know, or I've been praying for healing and it just hasn't manifested yet. Well, listen, I'm not making light of what you've gone through or your experience, but I'm not going to believe your experience over the Word of God. And I had a pastor friend of mine tell me one time, he said, well, healing's not always the will of God. If it was, how come all the little babies that we pray for die? And how come anybody that we pray for die? If it was the will of God, how come people are in the hospital? Well, and I could ask the same question. Is it the will of God for everybody to be saved? God's not willing for any to perish, but yet every day people do. Just because it's the will of God is not automatic. Are you hearing me? You got to know this. Just because it's the will of God does not mean it's automatic. And listen, I don't know. I don't know why Sister Sally or why Aunt Sally or Uncle Joe or whoever, you know, I don't know why it is that you prayed and they died. It's a myriad of reasons. Just a plethora, a bunch of reasons why. And I don't know. I can't tell you, but I'm not going to let what happened to somebody else stop me from believing that it's the will of God for me to be healed all the time, every time. Are you hearing me? You can't get well if you believe in something different. And I'm telling you that people, listen, I minister to people all the time in healing school at Charis Bible College. They have a healing school every week. In fact, you can get on charisbiblecollege.org and you can get 4 years of archives of healing school. Free. You can't watch that and not be healed. I'm telling you, you can't read my book on healing and not get healed. But what happens is people end up believing something different than what I'm saying here because of some experience. I don't know why they died. I'm not going to say they weren't in faith. Man, it takes faith to go to heaven. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what they knew or didn't know. I don't know. Sometimes people get tired of the fight. Sometimes they get close to glory and they see Jesus and they take off, man. I mean, forget this place. This isn't worth it. You know, and they're gone. Other times people believe, but they have more unbelief than they have belief. Their faith and confidence is more in what they see with their natural eyes. And so, but we just don't know. Here's what I know. I told you that this morning. When you get to heaven, you're going to be doing a whole lot of this. Now I understand. You were good. You were right. You were fair. It was the will of God for me to be healed every time, all the time. Well, yeah, but what about people? I mean, you're going to have to die one day. You don't have to be sick to die. Just take off, man. Just wake up one morning and say, Jesus, I'm coming home, and go home. You don't have to be sick. And there's no condemnation if you were sick to die. But you don't have to be sick to die. The problem is we submit to it when it comes to us and we hear the doctor's report and we exalt a doctor's report above God's report. And I'm telling you, you cannot help people get well until you learn to know this, that healing is the will of God every time, all the time, for everyone. Y'all don't look at me in that tone of voice. You can't get you. Why you? And I told that pastor friend of mine was telling me, well, how do you know? How could you know it's the will of God every time? I said, how could you be in faith to ever receive healing if you didn't know it was His will every time? You can't. If it's not His will every time, all the time, then how could you ever? How could you know whether you could believe? Are you hearing me? And so, 3 John 2, he tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So does God want you well? Is it his will for you to be well? Look, Jesus was the will of God, wasn't he? He said, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." And then in Hebrews, and then I think it's Hebrews, I don't know, Hebrews 9 or maybe 10, verse 7. And he went about, Acts 10:38, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Whatever you see Jesus do, it was the will of God. He never turned anybody away. He healed everybody that ever wanted healing. And he was the will of God, right? And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. "And it happened in a certain city that behold, there was a man full of leprosy who saw Jesus." How many of you know that's full of leprosy is not good? I mean, this guy was in bad shape. You understand? His nose was off probably, and his ears and his fingers, and I mean, it was a sad sight. He was full of leprosy. Full of it means full, you know, not what you think of when you say full of it. I mean, he was full of leprosy. "And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.'" If you're willing, you can. If you will, you can. And that's what a lot of people attribute today. They know God can, but will he do it for me? And you've got to settle this issue, guys, if you're going to be healed. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, "I'm willing. I'm willing." Everybody say, "He's willing." See, he just told you his will right there. "I'm willing for a man full of leprosy." They gave up on him. This guy was goner. You talk about terminal, man. This is as terminal as you can get. And as sick and bad, off as you can get. I mean, he was bad shape. And Jesus said, "I'm willing." And he touched him and he was clean. Are you hearing me? Now, then we go down in verse 17. And I want to help you here because I'm unpacking this answer. I've given you this step, but I'm unpacking it a little bit for you so that you've got some scriptural basis. I mean, all you would need is, "I'm willing." Because Jesus was express image of the Father, and whatever he did, that's his will. So it's always his will to heal. But I want to unpack it a little bit so you're really very clear about this, because here's what I see when people come for healing. Many times they come to the altar and they're wishing upon a star. They're not convinced that really what they're doing is they're coming for healing like they're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. Yeah. And that's the way their prayers are. They're hoping, not really even Bible hope where it's confident expectation. They're just wishing that God might do something and maybe mercy drops will fall on them. But you know, if you know that healing is the will of God every time, all the time, for you, you won't be praying like that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not being harsh or hard. I want to help you. Now look at Luke 5:17. "Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers out of the law sitting by who'd come out of every town of Galilee, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." We just referred to that earlier tonight. And then you know the story. The men brought a man that was paralyzed. And they let him down through the roof because they couldn't find a way to get him in the house. It was so packed. And then when Jesus, verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now let me stop there for a second. Why did Jesus deal with this man's sins? Because sometimes sin can open the door to the enemy and cause sickness and disease. Does that mean every time somebody's got sickness and disease, it's because of their sins? No. But sometimes it is. And you got to hear from God. There are times I'll be praying for someone and the Holy Ghost will say, "Stop," and ask them about their relationships. How is it with your dad? How is it with, and then all of a sudden the waterworks start flowing. and you see there's bitterness or unforgiveness or people are offended or whatever, and if you let that into your heart, it doesn't keep Jesus from healing you or releasing healing to you. What it does is it gives the enemy place to take it from you. Are you hearing me? You got a big, you know, you can bind the devil. You got a big landing strip of unforgiveness and offense in your heart. You know, I'm sorry that those people did that to you guys, but you're going to have to learn to let them go. Amen. You can't be holding on to it. So Jesus dealt with the sins in this person's life and just say, your sins are forgiven you. Obviously, there was something about this man's life that opened the door to the enemy. Do you see that? And then the scribes and Pharisees, he says, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? We're going to come back to that verse. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who is paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up and took up his bed, and he was healed. Now, this guy was healed, wasn't he? It was a miracle. Man, it was awesome. A healing miracle right here. But now, verse 23, let's look at it again. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Now, the right answer to this question will provide you with faith and confidence to receive healing every time, all the time. The right answer, whether is it easier to this question, the right answer to this question, whether is it easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? Which one is easier? Now, before you answer, which is easier for Jesus to say, your sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? Think about it. Don't answer me yet. The right answer to that question is the key to you understanding that it's the will of God to heal you every time. That's why he asked the question. How many of you know when Jesus asks questions, he already knows the answer? And that's why, you know, when people come for healing, if they don't understand this, if they're thinking in their mind, it's more difficult, you know, to receive healing. See, then they believed it was easier to receive healing than it was to forgive sins. Now people struggle with, you know, they think it's easier to, you know, say it, to forgive sins than it is to be healed. So here's the question. Which one's easier? How many of you say forgiveness of sins is easier? How many of you say to take up your bed and walk is easier? Okay, I'm not condemning anybody here. You're all wrong. Okay, here's the answer. Neither one. Neither one. Because the same price was paid for both. Is that true? Did I make that up? Isaiah 53, look at it just real quick. Isaiah 53. And verse 4 and 5, Isaiah 53, just to prove it, Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. And I want to, look, I don't want to just run through this, but I want you to get this. Surely he has borne our griefs, and if you look in the Hebrew, that word griefs is sicknesses. You ought to write like I did in my Bible. When it says he has borne our griefs, that word griefs is sicknesses. You look it up in your Strong's Concordance. And then he carried our sorrows. That word sorrows means pains. It's in your, you look it in the Hebrew, that's what it means. And we esteemed him smitten, stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, that's sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, that's sin patterns. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. that's anxiety and confusion and all that. And by his stripes we are healed. And all of that is the package of the atonement. Okay? And if you ever wonder that if it includes physical sicknesses, you can go to Matthew 8:17, and Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53 by healing physically sick people. So it's not just for a broken heart. Okay, so, but here's the issue, okay? Which one's easier? Which one's easier? I already gave you the answer. Which one? Neither one. Why? The same sacrifice paid for both. All right, here's my question. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? How many of you have ever led anybody to the Lord? All right, the people that you've led to the Lord, have any of them been any bad dudes? Really bad? I mean, they've done some bad stuff? I mean, they weren't all just perfect people, were they? I mean, they've done some bad stuff. Okay, have any of them done bad enough stuff that ever made you doubt that it'd be the will of God for them to be saved? Did you ever have a problem doubting and wondering that when you led that person to the Lord that it might be the will of God for them to be saved? You know it's the will of God for them to be saved, no matter what they've done. Is it the will of God for everyone that you ever try to lead to the Lord? Is it the will of God for them to be saved? Yes. How do you know that? Jesus died for them. You don't doubt it. You come with confidence. You don't go like you're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. Are you hearing me? You come with confidence knowing you can lead that sinner no matter how many sins he or she has committed. Doesn't matter where they've been, what they've been doing. Salvation belongs to, it's the will of God. You have no doubt about that. Listen, guys, the same sacrifice paid for forgiveness of sins and for their salvation that allows them to be clean and washed in their spirit, the same sacrifice that you and I can pray with the same confidence provided their healing. The same one. The same sacrifice. The same basis that you have no problem leading someone to the Lord because you know that Jesus already paid the price for all their sins. Right? The same price was paid all for every sickness and every disease. You don't have to ever come to the Lord for healing anymore, wondering and wishing that it's the will of God. You don't have to come like you're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. Because Jesus already deposited in your spiritual account all the forgiveness of sin you ever need, all the healing you ever need. Okay, but then how come I'm sick? Because you don't know this. Or you believe something different. It's the will of God. It's just as much the will of God for you to be healed every time. I mean, for you to have forgiveness of sins every time, all the time, and walk free from condemnation and guilt as it is, that it's just as much the will of God for you to walk in healing and be healed every time as it is forgiveness of sins. It's just as much, because to say when he said which one's easier, the right answer to that will cause you and I to believe that it's the will of God for me to be healed every time, just like it's the will of God that my sins be forgiven every time. Anytime it's done, it's already on deposit. It's mine. All I got to do is write the check.
Yes. Amen.
Write the check. I'm coming to God for forgiveness of sins. I already know it's on deposit. I already know He forgave me. And you know, when I confess my sins is not when God found out about it. I'm just getting it off of me, and I'm appropriating the forgiveness and the cleansing and everything that He's already provided, and I'm doing the same thing for healing. Now look, guys, until you get this, you can't walk in confidence in healing. But once you get it, then you're not going to have a problem with the healing issue anymore. You've got to know what happens is people stumble at experiences. And I can't help it that nobody, they didn't hear my message. I can't help it. That's why, listen. Wave at me if you're listening. Listen. Okay, that's why it's important for us to come to church. To hear the Word of God so that we can be informed, so we can be equipped, so our mind can be renewed. You can never again believe that it's ever the will of God for you to be sick. And I fight it like it's an enemy. I don't submit to it. There's lots of reasons. Some people they like the attention they get from being sick. You know how it was? Your mother, your militant sergeant mother, became a nice, gentle nurse when you became sick. And she wiped your fevered brow and gave you 7-Up and you stayed home from school. And we get benefits today. You got a handicap section. And, there's people that won't get well today because they get benefits from the government being disabled. Really, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not against those things. I'm just saying there's some people stay sick because of the benefits they receive. The bottom line is, guys, I fight sickness and disease just like I do sin. It's not the will of God. It's never the will of God. It's not the will of God. Every time, all the time, the will of God is healing. Okay, and I'm not condemning anybody who's dealing with sickness. Okay, the will of God is freedom from depression, but I'm not going to condemn you or make you feel bad. You know, if you're struck, I know Andrew and Brother Hagin weren't depressed for 40 some years. Well, I'm not them. I've been depressed. Okay? But I know where it came from, and it's not the will of God, and I'm not staying there. Now look, guys, I'm telling you something that the body of Christ overall doesn't get. It's the will of God for you to be healed every time, all the time. And when you understand that, and you help people with confidence, pray with confidence, and they're not praying like they're wishing upon a star anymore. Okay, now look, if this is already revelation to you, then praise God, you got it. Just pass it along, because I can tell you that people don't get this. They don't understand this. And so forgiveness and all these other things in the atonement are ours, and it's yours. Everybody say, healing is mine. It's on deposit in my spiritual account. Now see, all you got to do is write the check. You just write the check. It's the will of God every time. There's enough healing for me every time. Are you hearing me? All the time. It's the will of God. Then the second thing, you're there in Isaiah 53. Look at verse, I'll just tell you the point, and then we'll read the verse. If you're going to help people get healed in shoe leather or walk it out, they've got to know it's the will of God every time, all the time, for them to be healed. Second thing is you have to help them exalt the truth above the facts. Everybody say, exalt the truth above the facts. That's one of the chapters in my book, Exalt the Truth Above the Facts. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Okay, the arm of the Lord represents the power of God, including the healing power of God. Who is going to receive the power of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the healing power of God? According to this verse, who receives it? Who receives it? You, but I mean, who? According to this verse, who receives it? Those who believe this report above every other report. Okay, but here's what happens. I found this a lot. Okay, doctors, and I love doctors. I mean, praise God for doctors. I'm not against doctors. I mean, I'm not. And I believe God. We were just, I was just on a, I was just on, taped a couple television shows with Marilyn Hickey and Sarah, her daughter. It was awesome. We've had them in their school, and we went up there to Denver and did the show. And this is one of the questions they ask about doctors. And I have no problem with doctors. Praise God for doctors. I don't condemn anybody who goes to a doctor. Because the question is can you be in faith and go to the doctor? Yeah, you can. But, you know, the deal is too many people just go to the doctor. They don't ever pray and depend on God. Are you hearing me? And if you've got to, you know, you ask the question, well, should I throw away my medicine or not? Not if you've got to ask the question, the answer would be no. No, but you don't have to throw away your medicine, but keep your faith in God. What happens is, though, a doctor will give you a worst-case scenario report. And because he functions in functional, he operates in functional authority. He's been trained in the medical field to understand sickness and disease and treatments and things like that. But he's limited to whatever he's been trained with, but he has a measure of authority to function in the field of medicine, right? He's been trained. But do you understand? And most people don't. Delegated authority trumps functional authority. Well, you and I have been delegated all power and authority in heaven and earth, and we have a higher level of authority than functional authority. Just because somebody can function in this area, you and I have been delegated a higher authority. I've got inside information. Look, what happens is some people take the word of the doctor and they believe that higher than the word of God. If you want to see the arm of the Lord be revealed, you've got to exalt the truth of God's word above the facts of the doctor's report. I'm not saying deny what the doctor's saying. You know, faith is not saying, I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. I'm confessing I don't have it. That's not faith, okay? Faith is saying, okay, the doctor's report says this, okay, that's a fact, but I'm going to exalt, I've got a higher level of information, and it's the truth of God's word, and I believe this report above this report, and if I'll exalt this report above this one will trump this one. Are you hearing me? No, you got to get this. I'm not saying the doctor's lying. I'm not even denying that is a fact, but that fact cannot trump the truth. And I'm trumping. I've got the ace in the hole. You've got the ace in the hole every time. What is that, Pastor Greg? Well, what is it? Worldwide Poker Club and figure out, I've got the ace in the hole. I've got the better hand. I've got the winning hand. And the arm of the Lord is revealed to whoever believes his report above this report. I'm not denying that I've got pain. I'm just denying it to have final authority in my body. Are you hearing me? I'm just saying, I don't have to die with diabetes. I don't have to die with heart disease. I don't have to die with cancer. I'm telling you, but cancer, you cannot live in my body. The arm of the Lord is revealed because I believe God's report above every other report. Are you hearing me? I'm not in denial. I'm just denying what the doctor says. You know, hey, I've told the doctor before, well, you're terminal too. You're going to die one day. You're going to die one day. So we're all terminal, man. I mean, but I don't have to die with sickness and disease. And I'm not. Was it Freddie? Freddie, you don't have to die with this. I'm just telling you. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's the will of God the healing power of Jesus has already been ministered to you, but he already paid the price for this. And all right, so stage four cancer, so what? So what? So I'm not submitting to stage four cancer. Stage three, stage four, five, six, seven, eight. I'm not submitting to it. I got news for you. You can say whatever stage you want. I've got a higher stage. No, I'm not just trying to get you excited. I'm telling you, the word of, well, I guess I am, but you know, the word of God trumps whatever I'm going through. Are you hearing me? Man, and too many times we allowed circumstances to eradicate or to dictate to us what we believe. You know, I've had, I talked to you about my son, Brian, who you guys, last time I was here on Father's Day, he came. And God just radically delivered Brian, but he was living a prodigal life. He was living out on his own, away from God, and the devil would come to me lots of times. Here's spiritual warfare. To me, is this: the enemy comes to you in your mind and lies to you about the. He'll tell you the present circumstances, which, by the way, he introduced into your life, and he set up in your life, right? And he perpetrated in your life, and then he tries to get you to believe and get focused on what you see with your eyes. And he'll get you to then trying to get you to doubt God's word, because if you can doubt God's word because of what you see, then he's got you defeated. So I just tell him, you know, here's the real spiritual warfare. I just tell him, well, Mr. Devil, thank you for letting me know this, and while you're here, let me tell you the way it really is. And I just start giving him the word, man. I just start giving him the word. It's written, it's written, it's written again. Yes, and my children are taught of the Lord, great is their peace. My children are going to speak with their enemies in the gate, which, by the way, that's you. You're going to rue the day you ever came against my kids. And so the doctor tells you you got stage four cancer. Well, you know, Mr. Devil, while you're here trying to put doubt and fear on me, let me tell you, you fear and dread that I'm going to get a hold of the truth. And I'm telling you, stage four cancer isn't going to kill me. Rather, it's going to boomerang on you, and this test is going to turn out to a testimony. Are you hearing me? You've got to, look, guys, the bottom line is you find out what the truth is. If you want to get healed, you find out what the truth is, and you exalt it over the facts. Whatever the facts are, I'm not denying the facts exist. I'm just denying them to have final authority in my life. Are y'all getting this? Do you understand? Look, I'm telling you how you can walk healing out. You've got to learn on your own to exalt the truth above the facts. If you don't do that, you can't just pray or have other people pray for you that you'll get in faith. I'm not going to do your praying for you. I'll agree with you, but you're going to have to do spiritual warfare. And you're going to have to find out the word of the, whoever believes his report above every other report. Are you hearing me? Then that person, the arm of the Lord, will be revealed. Andrew lost his son. He died. Andrew Womack, his son died in a drug overdose. He got the call in the middle of the night. They were driving down to Colorado Springs, about an hour away from their house, and they had a toe tag on him. They're going to send him to the morgue, and all of a sudden, I mean, all these emotions came on him and Jamie, and you know, they lost their son, and you know, and all these things, and then they started being reminded of prophecies that had been spoken over him. One of them was at my church when his son was there, and we spoke, and all these prophecies hadn't come to pass yet. Then he remembered Pastor Bob Nichols spoke at a minister's conference just a few months before, the first report is not the last report. I said, the first report's not the last report. And they started praising God and exalting the truth above the facts. And his son that had been dead 4 hours sat up and got raised from the dead by the time they got down there. Are you hearing me? Too many times, guys, Listen, can I just be, can I love you and yet be honest with you? Too many times we're just wimping out. You get a report about your child that he's got ADD, ADHD, PhD, whatever D, all that stuff. I mean, they give labels to your kids. They got the, no, he doesn't. No, she doesn't. Well, maybe you say they do, but let me tell you what the Bible says. My child has got the mind of Christ. My child, the memory of the just is blessed. My child's obedient. I mean, you start, listen, you just start exalting the truth above the facts, guys. And here's the problem. The problem is between our ears. And we submit to what we see. And I'm telling you, you don't have to. And when it comes to sickness and disease, you don't have to submit to it. What are you submitting to? And now we can go on and on. I could give you a lot more about this, but Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who shall be against us?" So what are you saying to what's being presented to you? What are you saying? Okay, listen. Somebody here has gone through chronic depression, and I really have compassion on you. I really do. I mean, it's terrible. It's like you can't go out. It's like you don't. There's a woman here that's going through that. You can't even. You don't put on your makeup. It's just all kind. I mean, you don't have to put it on anyway. But if you wanted to, the thing is the enemy's really got you bound, and you're gonna have to fight. Okay, I love you and God loves you, but you're going to have to start exalting the truth above the facts. Your problem is you're submitting to the feeling of being depressed, and then you agree with it, and you're giving the enemy place to keep you there. You don't have to stay there in that place of depression. You can come out. I said you can come out, but you're going to have to come out by exalting the truth above the facts. Finally, is this helpful? So finally, the last point is you have the power. Say, I have the power. That you've got to use it. You have the power. There was an old song, "You've got the power in the name of Jesus. You've got the power in the name of the Lord." How many of you know you have the power? Okay, look, the problem is we have it and we don't know it. Say, I've got it. So Matthew 10:1, I've got the airport in sight. We're going to be done here in just a couple of minutes. How many of you give me 2 minutes? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. No, I'll be done in a minute. And then I'm going to have Tom come up, and we're just going to worship our way out tonight. Matthew 10:1, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Over unclean spirits to cast them out. How many of you are his disciples? Keep that up there for a minute, God. So he gave them power. He gave the disciples power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. You've got power. Say power. That word power there is the word exousia. The word exousia simply means you have the jurisdiction or control. It's like a police officer that's given a badge. You have the jurisdiction to function in authority in this city, in this town. Okay? That's what that means. All right? God's given that to you. He's given you and I the jurisdiction in the spirit realm and in our physical bodies to exercise authority over sickness and disease. So you and I have the power. We've got the control. What we say is law when it comes to, in the spirit realm, when it comes to healing or sickness and disease. You and I have the power. And Matthew 16 says, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you allow will be allowed. Yes? It's up to you and I what we allow. You're the deputy in Healingville. You're the deputy in Healingville. If you allow sickness and disease, then it'll stay. If you don't allow it, it'll go. You're the deputy. Say, I'm the deputy. And another way to say disciple. Luke 9, 1 and 2, then he called us 12 disciples. How many of you are disciples? So he's talking to you. Keep that up there for a minute, guys. He called us 12 disciples together, gave them power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This word power is the word dunamis. And this simply means miraculous force. Miraculous force or power. In other words, this is like, you know, the exousia is the badge to operate in Healingville. But this is like the gun or the handcuffs or the taser. Okay? And so you've got the power, you've got the authority, right? You've got not only do you have, you've been deputized to function in Healingville, but you've also been given the equipment that you need to keep the enemy out or to keep the thieves out of your town. Okay, so I don't want to take a long time here, but let me have a couple of guys. You guys right here, yeah. You guys, come on. Yeah, you two guys, and then you want to come too? Would you like to help me? Come on. All right. So, here's, what is your name, sir?
Daniel.
All right. Daniel, you're going to be the sheriff. All right. Sheriff Daniel. He looks like a good sheriff, doesn't he? All right. Or you could call him chief of police. Let's just call him chief of police of Healingville. All right. And what is your name?
John Trill.
John Trill. John Trill is going to be deputized by chief of police here. All right. So would you put the badge on him? Okay. Give him the taser. Give him the handcuffs. Okay. Give him the gun. Okay. We can't do that anymore, you know, but it's like, but you understand he's got the exousia power, right? And he's got the taser and all that, the dunamis power to enforce, and protect Healingville. This is Healingville right here. Y'all see that? Okay. Now, do you have a cell phone with you? Okay. Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, go grab your cell phone. Okay. Go stand up here because you're the chief of police. You don't do much. You stay back here. You got your phone. All right. And what is your name?
Darren.
All right. And so Darren is going to be the thief. And he's going to come into Healingville, and he's going to try to steal some healing by bringing sickness and disease. But he's just going to come and try to steal something. So now you've been deputized, right? Okay. So here's Healingville. Now you got to watch. Okay. Your chief told you this is your job. This is your job. You got to watch Healingville and make sure that no thieves or robbers come in here. And if they do, it's your job to go get them,
okay.
and lock them up, okay. Amen. Because this is Healingville. That means we're all healed, right? Okay. No thief is coming to steal healing from us, right? Okay. And he's been delegated by the chief. Okay. He's been delegated the exousia power, the jurisdiction to function here, the badge. Plus, he's been given the taser and the gun, the miraculous power to enforce it. Right? Are you tracking with me? Okay. So now I want you to kind of walk around and what you're going to do is let's say that's something important down there, okay? Well, no, let's not do that. Let's do something different. Let's do something different. Okay. Now, are you watching your city? Okay. Are you watching your city? Okay. I want you to grab that purse right there. Grab that purse. You better not take anything out of it though. All right, grab that purse. Okay. And you gotta holler. Ah! Ah! Wait a minute. Come here. All right. He's running off. Okay? But a lot of Christians are doing this. Pick up your phone. Call the chief. And say, Chief.
Hey, Chief.
We got a thief.
He's
stolen some health. And well, go get him.
Go get him.
What are you going to tell him, Chief?
You get him.
Go get your man. Go get him. Come on. Amen. Give them a good hand. Amen. Yeah. Okay, bottom line is this. Too many times we're calling on God. And it's all right to cry out to Jesus. I'm not saying that. Okay, it's all right. God, you know, help me. But too many times you've been deputized. I've given you the authority. It's all right to call on him for strength and all that. But wait a minute, go read your Bibles and you catch the thief. You take authority. You drive the sickness and disease out. You do what Jesus already gave you and I authority to do. You've got the power. You've got the authority. Use it. Now I need agreement. Sue, I need agreement. I need people to pray with me. There are times I feel I've been long in the battle and it's all right. I'm not saying don't get agreement in prayer. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, like if you got some bad enough dudes, you know, they got backup. Okay, it's all right to get backup. That's not what I'm, don't feel bad about getting backup, but the bottom line is you've got authority. Now you need to act like it and you need to walk in it. Are you hearing me? Okay, first of all, the will of God, come on up, Tom. The will of God is for you to be healed every time, all the time. Right? Every time, all the time. The second thing is we've got to learn to exalt the truth above the facts. How long do you do it, Pastor Greg? I don't know. You just do it till it's gone. You cannot receive from God with your eyes on the calendar and the clock. Well, how come it takes longer? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I'm not worried. I'm not asking God, why, God, why? I've been praying for so long. That's not a prayer of faith. Why, God? Now, you know what he's asking? Why aren't you doing something? That's the question. Why aren't you using what I've given you? You can't receive from God, Wilda, you can't receive from God with your eyes on the calendar or the clock. How long do you believe? I stand until the cancer's gone. How long do you say? I don't know. I just know. Here's what I know. I know the devil does not have patience. That means I can outlast him every time. I have lasting power. I can outlast the devil every time if I just won't give up. And I'm not giving up. Amen? Now look, guys, what I've shared with you tonight, that's what I tell people. If I just had a few minutes to tell them, that's what I tell them, how to receive healing. And you can receive it every time, all the time. That's how my wife and I have received healing. My granddaughter received healing from club feet in her mother's womb. I mean, I've received healing of cancer. I've seen over and over again people receive. But listen, guys, this is not rocket science. It's very simple. If you'll take the things I'm saying and apply them in your life, they'll work because it's the Word of God. Why don't we all stand up and let's come down to the front. Let's worship. Let's let God just massage us into our spirits, into our souls, and our minds. Hallelujah. Come down to the front and just lead us, Tom, in a couple of songs.
Holy Spirit, come right here in this room, right here in this place. Make your home in us. Take over our hearts. Let your glory fill this place. Come. Right here in our worship, Jesus. Right here in our hearts. Only you can change us. Take complete control. Till your will is all. Bread of heaven, bread of life, fill my emptiness. I come to your table, Lord, and I find your holiness. Living water, river of life, quench my thirstiness. I come to your fountain, Jesus, and I find your righteousness. You're the giver of the bread. Server.